To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. John 16 and verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus is talking with his disciples in John chapter 16. And Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, there's going to come a day where people are going to persecute you. People are going to kill you. People are going to injure you. People are going to harm you, whether physically or verbally, you know, whatever. And God is saying that they're going to think that they're doing him God's service. Amen. Because people, we live in a world where there's so much evil. There's so much wickedness. The hearts of men are so hardened. Their hearts are so dark. Their minds are so clouded by the enemy. There are those who are not serving God, but are serving Satan. There are those who have allowed themselves to be used by the enemy. You know how I always tell you that we're instruments of God, our bodies, our hands, our feet. The Bible says that we're supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the earth. Well, can I just tell you, there are people in this world that are alive today who are actually the hands and feet of Satan, where Satan is literally using them to do wickedness to God's people. They are allowing themselves to be used by the enemy. And the thing is that they're so far gone. They're so clouded and so confused and so bewitched in their mind. They can't even see clearly. They cannot see anything wrong with what they're doing because they honestly believe that they're doing God a service. There are those who have taken up judgment into their own hands. Amen. There are people who are casting judgment or taking the law into their own hands, because they're so misguided by the enemy. Understand, Jesus said in the book of Isaiah, I believe it says, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as he fell from as lightning out of heaven." Where did he fall from? Out of heaven into the earth. Jesus said, "I stood and I beheld him fall like lightning out of heaven." That is the speed. That is the rate. That's the speed at which Christ threw that devil out of heaven. It looks like a lightning bolt falling into the earth. Hallelujah. When he was cast out of heaven, he was cast into the earth. People, Satan, his cohort, and a third of the angels were cast out with him. Those who cleaked up with Satan against God was cast out when Satan was cast out. I want you to understand that the demonic is real. Just going with the Holy Spirit here. The demonic is real, people. The Bible says in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, wickedness in high places. We're not wrestling against men and women. When you are attacked as a believer, whether persecuted, whether attacked physically, you know, whether you're being verbally abused, whatever you are going through today as a believer, you are not wrestling with the person that is in front of you. You are wrestling with the spirit of the devil. Amen. The spirit of the Antichrist that is at work in that person, because people allow themselves to be used by Satan. Can I tell you again? People are allowing themselves to be used by Satan, and they are not even aware that they have loaned themselves out to the enemy. Hallelujah. So Jesus is preparing his disciples, and he says, listen, I want you all to know this because I don't want it to be a surprise to you when it happens. I am telling you this now so you are not surprised when it happens. Hallelujah. And he says, okay, so you all are sad. The book of John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus says, you all are looking so sad. Instead of asking me what's going on, he says, you're all here sitting sad because of the fact that I tell you that I am going back to my Father. But he's even with that, he says, but now in verse 16, chapter 16 of John, verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask it me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. You know, the disciples got sad because they had been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. Amen. And they witnessed his crucifixion. They saw that he is resurrected. He is the one that's having this conversation with them. And now can you imagine, you're with your friend for 3.5 years. You're going, you're traveling the world, and you're preaching the gospel with your friend. And your friend has been telling you for 3.5 years, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be sold out for 30 pieces of silver to the enemy. They're going to crucify me, but take heart. On the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And you heard that for 3.5 years. You've heard your friend saying, listen, I was sent into this world to die for you. Amen. Maybe you believed it, maybe you didn't believe it, but the disciples heard Jesus tell. He never kept it a secret. He told them what was going to happen. He told them why God sent him. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this earth to come and die for sinners like you and me, is what Jesus told the disciples. He says, I'm going to die, but take heart. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they went through all of that. They witnessed that he is alive and he's in front of them. And here we go again. Here he go again, telling us he's leaving us again, as though we are not already traumatized. Amen. They've been through so much trauma. They've been through so much persecution. They're always having to run for their life. The one person, they trusted Judas, and Judas sold out their friend for 30 pieces of silver. Then he committed suicide. You know, Peter's feeling bad about himself already because he denied Jesus Christ. And before he denied Jesus Christ, Jesus told him he would deny him. The night when they came to arrest Jesus Christ, they scattered. They all fled for their life. Hallelujah. And they're feeling sorry about all that they said and did wrong concerning Jesus. And here he goes again, talking about leaving us again. And they're sad. And Jesus says, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But you know, good news always come after. Good news always come after. He says, nevertheless, in verse 7 of John chapter 16, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. He's saying, it's better if I leave you. Because if I leave you, the Comforter will come. But if I don't go away, I'm going to be with you. Yes. But Jesus is saying, I am God, but I am still God in flesh. And I can only be at one place at one time, is what Jesus is saying. He says, the Comforter will come to you. He's going to come instead of having me physically alongside you. Jesus says, instead of having my physical presence alongside you, you're going to have my spiritual presence on the inside of you. Hallelujah. That's what he said. You'll have my spiritual presence on the inside of you. So it is expedient. It is expedient that I go, that I return to my Father, because better things are yet to come. Hallelujah. Luke 24 and 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Who is he talking about? Himself, Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's telling them, please hang in there. My promise to you is true, is what God says. My promise to you is good, is what God is saying to you, my brother. Okay? He's saying, my promise to you today, sister, is good, and it is true, and it still stands. His promise still stands. Hallelujah. Mary, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Let us do verse 30, 34, and 35. It says in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called who? The Son of God. Who are we talking about? The same Son of God that is telling his disciples in John chapter 6 that he is going away. This is the same Son of God that the angel Gabriel announced to a young teenage girl that was espoused to be married. She was engaged to be married to Joseph of Nazareth. Amen. She was a virgin. The angel Gabriel showed up to Mary and said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you're going to become pregnant. And she is the same one that carried the Son of God. Mary, I love what Mary said. Mary says, listen, how is all this going to happen knowing I don't even know man? How is this possible? Amen. This is what she asked the angel. I admire Mary's boldness. I loved her ability to face the angel and to question the angel and to get clarity. She wanted clarity because she didn't understand how is it that she, who doesn't know man, is going to get pregnant. Hallelujah. How is this possible? So I admired her boldness. When you don't understand things, ask God. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Be courageous. The greeting that the angel gave Mary, he told Mary, you are favored among women. God loves you, Mary, and he has chosen you. Just like he has chosen you, brother. Just like he has chosen you, my sister. He loves you and he has chosen you. Hallelujah. He has chosen you just like he chose Mary. Amen. You have to be bold and you have to surrender yourself to the Lord, just like Mary surrendered herself to the Lord. She says, okay, let it be done. Let God's will be done in your life. Hallelujah. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things are possible. Mary did not know man. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking to his disciples about. They had gone through so much. They had had enough. Hallelujah. And here comes Jesus telling them he's leaving them again. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not rise from the dead for a perfect people. Amen. Who had all things figured out. No. He rose from the dead for people who would betray him. He rose from the dead for people who would ignore his word. He rose from the dead for people who would be rebellious. He rose from the dead for people who would forget his promises. He rose from the dead for people who would doubt his messengers. That is why he rose from the dead. He died for people who put him to death. He died for you and he died for me, the same people that put him to death. You see, the disciples, when he was talking with them, they could not believe by their own strength what Jesus was saying to them. They couldn't believe a word he was saying by their own reasoning. Nothing made sense to them. Because in their mind is probably still clouded. They're probably just recovering from the crucifixion. Amen. They had been so tired of running and ripping and running and hiding for their life. Amen. And here he goes telling them, now I'm leaving you. So it's by the Holy Spirit himself that you are going to come to believe anything. It's by the Holy Spirit of God that you are going to come to trust in Jesus. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that you are going to surrender your life to Jesus. It is only by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that you or me or anyone can come to believe in Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, he was physically resurrected. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 18, let's go to verses 9 through 15. Genesis 18, verses 9 through 15. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Genesis 18, 9 through 15. And ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Sarah thy wife shall have a son, in verse 10. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Let me tell you something. With God, all things are possible. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed, not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. A lot of us are laughing at God. A lot of us are laughing at the promises of God. You're laughing at the promises of God. You're not trusting and you're not believing in God. Amen? You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot believe by your own strength. You cannot believe by your own reasoning. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we come to believe in him or anything. Hallelujah. Sarah laughed at the promise of God, and God showed her that he is not a man that he should lie. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that Sarah became pregnant. When the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary, when Mary doubted, she asked questions. I told you, when you are doubting, when you are doubtful, when you do not understand, ask God. The three messengers from God showed up to Abraham at his tent on their way to where? A city called Sodom. And what did they do? They reiterated the promise that Sarah would have a son. They reminded Abraham, Sarah is going to have a son, whether or not Sarah believes it. Jesus said to his disciples, the comforter is going to come, whether or not you believe it. In the book of Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Jesus Christ promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he filled all that were gathered in that upper room, the 120 disciples in the upper room. They were all filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was given to the church. The Holy Spirit is given to you. The Holy Spirit is the one that overcame Mary, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is able. Amen. You have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot get through this life here on earth without the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Lord told the disciples, there are those who are going to persecute you. There are those who are going to injure you. There are those who are going to mistreat you. And they're going to treat you so poorly. And they're going to think that they're doing God a favor or they're doing God a service. Because why? They don't understand. In John 20 and 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. It's so important for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he breathes on them, and they received his Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God. He is your friend. He is your comforter. He is your intercessor. He is your guide. He is your advocate. He is your lawyer. He is your judge. He is your doctor. He is your friend. admire him just like Mary admired him. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is a promise keeper and he is a friend. On the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24, verses 13-26. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Verse 17 of Luke 24. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Verse 18. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. They're really telling Jesus this story. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Jesus is saying, what is wrong with you all? Didn't I tell you I was going to be crucified? Didn't I send the prophet Isaiah to tell you, or Micah or whoever, that I was going to be born, where I was going to be born, where I was going to be buried? Didn't I tell you that I would rise from dead on the third day? He says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Why don't you believe? Why don't you believe? Just believe. The Lord is with you. He is with you. They're walking and they're talking, and he says their eyes were holding. He held their eyes so that they would not recognize, because Jesus really wants to know what you're saying about him when you think he is not present. That is a thing. He is always present with you. His Holy Spirit lives in you. He is with you. You have to believe that. You have to believe no persecution, no affliction, no amount of mocking, no ridicule. In Acts 2, 12 and 13, it says that they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. It's okay. It's the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Spirit of promise that Jesus said on the that came on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus was telling his disciples. He was sending the Comforter to be with them. It's okay. They mocked the believers then. They will mock you now. They persecuted the believers then. They will persecute you now. Jesus told you these things would happen. So he didn't want you to be surprised when they happen. So he prepared you for these things. So when you are mocked, you are not sad. Or when your loved one goes, you are not sad. Amen. He has given you his Holy Spirit as a comforter. Hallelujah. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, the prophets told you I was going to come. The prophets told you I was going to die. Why don't you believe like Mary believed? The Apostle Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And after his encounter with Jesus Christ, he stopped persecuting the church. Apostle Paul was one that was persecuting the church. He said in 1 Timothy 1:13, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was injurious, but God had mercy on me because I did these things ignorantly in unbelief. Paul said, I didn't believe. Paul was a Pharisee. He was an educated man, but he didn't believe. But when he converted, when Jesus Christ converted him, when he encountered Paul, he became a changed man. He became a brand new man. Paul, who used to call the believers mad people, now they're calling Paul mad. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, people will call you mad. When you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and especially if you get the gift of talk, speaking in tongues, people will call you mad. They will say you're full of new wine. They said it to the apostles. Amen. They will say it about you. Understand this. Jesus has not left you. He has never left you, and he will not leave you. Jesus shows himself to the two disciples. They didn't even recognize him until he opened their eyes. You know, Jesus is risen from the dead. He's not in the grave. And Jesus will not grant sight to those who are spiritually dead. Dead people can't see. People who are spiritually dead cannot see. And the Bible says, listen, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't discern or understand spiritual things. Jesus was physically resurrected. Believe that. He was the one that showed up at Abraham's tent. He was the one that showed up with those two angels. Because the Bible in Genesis 18 continues, and Jesus is walking and talking with Abraham. He says, I wonder, should I tell my friend Abraham that I'm going down to Sodom to destroy it? So Jesus was one of those angels. Amen. He was the one that spoke the word about Sarah going to conceive and have a child. He was the same one that told Mary through the angel Gabriel that Elizabeth, your cousin, which is stricken in age, an old woman, is 6 months pregnant. And when Mary showed up and she greeted, saluted her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist, in her womb leapt. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God from inside his mother's womb. He is the Spirit of life. Jesus Christ is the Spirit of life. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Do you hear what Jesus say? He is going to pour out his Holy Spirit in the last days. Can I tell you we're living in the last days? And because we're living in the last days, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, live in wisdom and live in his understanding, live in his teaching. Amen. Don't worry about man. The Holy Spirit of God was given to the church on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit of God is a spirit of life. He is the same one that breathed on his disciples. He is the same one that breathed life in the womb of Mary. He is the same one that breathed life in Elizabeth's womb. He is the same one that breathed life in Manoah, Samson's father's wife womb. Amen. He is still breathing life. He is the one that has blown his breath of life in you. He is the same one that told Nicodemus he had to be born again. He had to be born of the Spirit and of water. He is the same one. Amen. You see, salvation which comes through Jesus Christ, which came through Jesus Christ, it prepares us for the life to come. That's what Jesus Christ's death did for us. It gave us salvation, brought us salvation, and it prepares us for the life to come. But the Holy Spirit of God prepares us to accomplish God's purpose for our life here on earth. In order to walk in the will and the plan and the purpose of God for your life, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. Remember what I said, 1 Timothy 1:13 says, whoso was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still available. Amen. Matthew 12:32 says, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I love Matthew 12:32. I love 1 Timothy 1:13. And I love Hebrews 10:26, because it just shows us God's mercy through what he did with the Apostle Paul. When Paul confessed and he repented, he said, I persecuted the believers. I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I was injurious. Paul had many believers put to death, many believers beaten, many believers put in jail. But he said he did all those things because he was ignorant. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. So I love, because that shows me how merciful God is. And then in Matthew, the Bible says, listen, you can speak a word against Jesus Christ and you will be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, he says, you will not be forgiven. Amen. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. But God still extends his grace through Paul. And he said, what? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you're mocking someone that has the Holy Spirit of God, if you're mocking someone because they speak in tongues, if you're mocking someone because, or you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, amen, or you're injuring or you're persecuting or a believer, you need to stop and repent. Because Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:13, God forgave him because he was doing it ignorantly. But I love Hebrews 10:26, because Hebrews 10:26 says, listen, after you have learned, let me find Hebrews 10:26. After you have gotten the knowledge of the truth of the word of God and you go back to your sinful ways, Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus ain't gonna die all over again. If you sin after you've heard this message, if you continue to sin, there is no forgiveness for you. Because after you've heard the word of truth, and you turn and you continue in your sinful ways, you continue with your persecutions, you continue in your unbelief, you continue with your mocking, saying that the believer must be drunk. If you continue in that type of behavior, there remains no more forgiveness for you. So see, God will forgive us when we say and we do things ignorantly. But willingly, he will not. When we do things willingly, when we sin willingly, he won't forgive us. He forgave those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know, even though he had been with them so long, they still doubted. God understands that you are not perfect. We are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. He understands those things. Amen. I told you Jesus with them was physically alongside of them, but Jesus away from us is physically, spiritually inside of us. Amen. We have His Spirit, His Holy Spirit present on the inside of us that is leading and guiding us. And God says that He has been nudging you. Every time you blunder or you are getting ready to blunder, God says He has been nudging you. His Spirit has been nudging you. He has been telling you, don't say that, don't do that, but you continue. But now that you've heard His word of truth, don't do it anymore. This is what He's saying. You have to believe. You can't laugh at God. You can't laugh at His promise, because His promise to the believer was the Holy Spirit, His Spirit. Amen. He promised He would send the Comforter to comfort them. When you see someone speaking in tongues, don't laugh. Don't mock. If you don't understand a thing, say nothing at all. Keep quiet. Don't mock. Sarah laughed. How is that possible? Me, an old woman, have a baby. God can do anything. Don't laugh at the promises of God. His promise was given to me, and it was given to everybody who believed. Amen. If you don't believe, just be quiet. Understand that you can't believe. You can't reason your way through this thing. You cannot understand Holy Spirit by your own strength. It is only the Spirit of God that is going to bring that understanding or bring that revelation to you. Understand, I told you, Jesus didn't die for perfect people. He died for people that don't have it all together. He died for broken people, people who don't believe on His promises, people that are doubtful, people that are mocking, people that ridicule, people that are injurious, people that blaspheme. He died for people, His messengers that you are doubting. He died for them. All I have to say is, in the last days, He says He's going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. And His sons and His daughters are going to prophesy. When you're in church on Sunday or Wednesday and people are prophesying, don't laugh, don't criticize, don't speak on things you do not understand. When people are speaking in tongues, don't laugh, don't mock. When people are speaking their dreams, what they think God showed them, whatever, however strange the vision is that God has given them, that is between them and God. Don't laugh. God can do the impossible. God's ways are not like ours. God bless you.